A bitter moment earlier this month for the family of Tyler Clementi at the sentencing of Darun Ravi.
Mr. Ravi appears untroubled in any way by what he did, how he made my brother suffer. To be honest, there is a time when an apology would have actually meant something to me. But now it is clear that anything of the sort would be empty, rehearsed words spoken without empathy.
That is Tyler Clementi's brother James, who addressed the court at the sentencing for Darun Ravi. Ravi was convicted of a crime for using a webcam to spy on Tyler Clementi during an intimate moment with another man. Ravi and Clementi were roommates at Rutgers University until Tyler killed himself back in 2010. Ravi's sentence of 30 days for the crime was debated nationwide. The sentencing represented a chance for Tyler's brother James to face the man whose actions led to Tyler's suicide. We gave James Clementi a chance to speak his mind about his family tragedy earlier this year, right after he had written an article for Out magazine about how the media attention to his brother's death missed the human dimensions of a young person facing his identity as a gay man in today's world.
I felt that the public didn't really get a chance to understand who my brother was as a person, as an individual. The debate around him, the discussion, was basically just about the last hours and the last days of his life. And people know him and associate him by how he died and the pain that he felt at the end. And they didn't get a chance to know the child that I knew for 18 years and got to spend 18 years of my life with and loving. And I wanted to just bring his humanity to the public consciousness.
One of the extraordinary pieces in this portrait that you present in this letter to your brother is how you, who discovered you were gay, watched him discovering the same sort of thing, yet for reasons that I want you to explain to me, it was difficult for you to connect with each other until much later on, and that you both felt a sense that you might not necessarily help the situation by being open about your situation. Why?
Right. I'm 6 years older than him, and I think the age gap maybe gave me some distance from him in the sense that I did kind of observe and see him going through things that I had gone through when I was his age, and I understood, you know, a lot of what I felt he must be feeling, but it was not an easy thing for me to actually address those issues and speak to him openly about our sexuality. And it was something that I always knew that I was going to do at some point, and I guess I just felt that I would have a lot more time to be able to do it. And we had just started to really have that conversation with each other a few months before he went away to school and before he passed. And at the time when that conversation opened up, I definitely thought that there were years and decades left for us to get to know each other and to talk about that. I didn't realize that it was right at the end.
So, James Clementi, you did not believe at the time that you first addressed openly the experience of being gay with your brother that he was close to the edge in some sense.
No. Looking back on it now, I imagine that he must have struggled a lot with depression, but he never displayed any outward signs of that, and I always thought of him as an extremely happy person. He was always smiling. He just had a warm, loving energy about him, and I didn't realize that he was in that kind of pain. And even if he was, I don't think it was as bad as it became once he got to school, and I didn't see him go through that downward spiral, and I have a hard time putting that together in my mind because that's not how I remember him or who I knew him to be.
Well, and also, and you write about this in your article, because you feel a responsibility
yes.
to have protected him.
Yes.
And I have to say these pictures are devastating
yeah,
in here.
It was really hard for me to go back through that and look at them. For a long time, I couldn't bring myself to look at pictures of him, and I remember leading up to the funeral, all my family members were going through all photo albums and putting together poster boards and slideshows, and I couldn't look
right.
at them. And it's just been a hard thing. It just brings back too many memories. But I wanted people to see those pictures at the same time. I mean, the only image that most people have seen of him is the Facebook picture where he just looks somber, and it's not the most joyful thing. And I wanted to show photographs of him being happy and smiling and being young and enjoying
right.
his life, and that was a big part of who he was also.
Now, you know you can't carry that responsibility of protecting him through your life, regardless of, you know, what you may think about it now. And in many ways, this story is about how solitary gay men are, and gays of all descriptions are, in confronting this issue of facing the public. That's really what this story is about.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot in his story that is universal and that a lot of people in the gay community can understand and relate to. And I definitely think that the isolation that he felt is a big thing that a lot of us go through. I don't know. I don't really, it's not that I blame myself for it, but I feel that I did have a responsibility and an obligation to be a protector for him, and I wanted to be. And when I think about all that he went through at the end at school, and that I wasn't someone that he felt he could talk to, and that I didn't know about it at all until after the fact, I feel like I failed him in a sense, and that I missed out on an obligation to him, and I feel that I let him down, and I don't know, I guess that's just something that I have to live with.
Well, you're gonna have to work on that, I think.
Yeah.
There's another character in this story, and that's the internet. In a sense, the internet has changed the experience of gay sexuality in many, many ways. It's created a whole new world of possibilities. But also, gay hatred has been changed by the internet, and that's partly what this story is about.
Right.
Explore that a little bit.
I think the anonymity of the internet gives people a lot of freedom to say things and do things that they wouldn't necessarily to a person's face. And I think, I know if you had read the New Yorker piece that came out earlier this week, I mean, a lot of the dialogue between my brother and his roommate was not actually spoken in words. It was all through technology. So I think that technology has created a new vehicle for people to communicate, and you don't actually have to look someone in the eyes as you're saying something or doing something completely hurtful to them, and you don't have to address or acknowledge the pain that you inflict on them.
And a roommate can be a dehumanized sort of clicker at the other end of a technological device, not an actual person.
Right.
Do you hate his roommate?
No.
You sure about that?
I hate what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, do you think it is the case in our world today that people can say to themselves, oh, he was outed, well, of course he must have wanted to commit suicide then, versus, oh, he was humiliated as an openly gay person, why did he kill himself?
Right.
Do you think that's a tension that exists?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of open-ended questions that we won't know the answers to, and I couldn't say, you know, what it was exactly that caused it. He didn't tell me that, and I can't ask him now, but I think I'm sorry.
Well, this is an experience where you're on the edge,
right?
You know, and the idea that something on the internet would push you over as an openly gay person is a much more serious sort of health problem that we need to think about than this idea that if you're outed, that's going to push you over the edge. We're past that, it seems.
Yes, I agree. I don't think it was the idea that other people knew he was gay that was the issue. I think it was the way he was treated because of the fact that he was gay. So I totally agree with you.
Have you experienced that sort of
yes.
kind of thing?
Yes. I think it's more, for me, it was something that happened when I was younger. And I think as you get older and go through adult life, people just grow up and they learn to be much more respectful. And even if someone doesn't agree with you or whatever, they still can respect to disagree.
All right, there are a lot of little Tylers out there who are probably thinking about the same things that your brother did.
Yeah.
Give them some advice.
Never give up. Never end your life. Your life is the most valuable, precious thing that you have. And there's always hope as long as you keep fighting. I know it's a hard thing because you don't know the situations that people are in, but no matter how bad it is, find help, talk to someone. You don't do that. That is the worst thing that you could do, and not even for the people that you'll hurt by leaving behind, but just for yourself and the fact that you deserve to experience every happiness and joy that exists out there in the world. And
sounds like you're talking to him. You miss him.
Yeah, I miss him. I miss him so much, more than I could say.
James Clementi, thanks so much for coming in and sharing
that
with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
James Clementi is a writer for Out Magazine and the brother of Tyler Clementi, who died by suicide a year and a half ago.
And you can hear more about that story by visiting our website, thetakeaway.org. We heard earlier this hour about the history of Memorial Day or Decoration Day. And as you remember those who aren't with us now, we turn our attention to those soldiers that we can speak to.
Marion from Hartsdale, New York. Having had the privilege of living in this great country my whole life, I can't even imagine the sacrifice made by our soldiers to protect our freedoms, but I am daily and forever grateful for their courage and devotion to that cause, and God bless them all.
So what would you say to our veterans or those on active duty? You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE with your Memorial Day message. And you can get a jump on our conversations every day by joining our listener response network. We'll send you one text per day to ask the featured question for tomorrow's show. Just text START to 69866. That's START to 69866. Happy Memorial Day. I'm Celeste Headley.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.